On the morning of Wednesday, the 6th of April, 1966, students and a teacher from Westall High School, near Melbourne in Australia, reported seeing a UFO. The object flew over the school, then reappeared some 20 minutes later, being pursued by five unidentified aircraft. The teacher and students maintain their story to this day, but could it have been something mundane like a weather balloon, as sceptics insist? And if so, why was the school flooded with military personnel telling everyone that they hadn't seen anything? Join myself and Neil here on Aliens Explored as we look into the differing theories surrounding this compelling case.
Aliens Explored is a weekly podcast exploring famous and obscure cases of UFO sightings, alien abductions, and other strange events from both a believing and a skeptical perspective, whilst keeping an open mind. I'm Stu Jackson, a professional actor and amateur ufologist with a particular interest in the crop circle phenomenon. I'll be debating that otherworldly visitations are real. The truth is out there.
And I'm Neil Kelly. I'm a professional actor as well and used to work for the military as an intelligence analyst. I'll be arguing from a more doubtful point of view. I mean, it's all a bit far-fetched, isn't it?
Hello, listeners. Hello, viewers. Welcome to another episode of Aliens Explored, your weekly look at the mysterious skies, outer space, bottoms of the ocean, crop circles, people in smoke-filled rooms plotting and conspiring. I'm one of your hosts, Neil Kelly.
And I'm your other conspiracist, Stu Jackson.
How are you doing, Stu? Neil?
I'm good. I'm doing good, thanks. Yeah, this is... So for our listeners and viewers, well into the new year now. Approaching February, but this is our last episode that we're recording before we take our break for our seasonal.
Well, before
work.
We go off and do other stuff, before we go and do seasonal.
Yeah,
work.
Yeah. So yeah, it's it's going to be an interesting time. Going to be a busy time.
It's going to be a busy time. It always is. I wish it wasn't. I'm looking forward to when it isn't. When I'm just
the most busiest time of the year.
It used to be a very slack time for me. My work used to dry up round about mid-November and not pick up again till the end of January. So it was a really, I had plenty of leisure time, but also plenty of financial worries because I had nothing much coming in.
I find January to April is usually a bit of a quiet time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be straight back into it.
Yes. Especially with your Mr. Monopoly.
Especially with Mr. Monopoly, yeah. It's basically a full-time job, isn't it? So.
Yes. Hence, that's why you're giving introductions to Mr. Monopoly on Aliens Explored.
It's a hard habit to break. I do it several times a day. Your mind does get into a sort of pattern. I was doing during the COVID lockdown, we were doing COVID testing at my wife's school. I was hired as one of the testers. And of course, every person who came in, especially after they came back to school, the government decided to send all the kids back. And they all came in one after the other, and they all had these forms, and I had to record the last four digits of their serial number before they went for their test. So all day long, I was writing down these four-digit sequences, 4372-1264-5599, whatever. Then after work, I thought, I need to put some petrol, gas, in the car. Went to the petrol station, filled up, and... it was just slightly over the mount by a pound or two that you can use contactless for. So I had to type my PIN. Couldn't remember it. I've been doing all these different doing all these digits all day. And it got, I, in the end, I had to phone my wife to come and rescue me. Just forgotten my pin.
Yeah, you're learning too much stuff and it pushes other stuff out. I'm reminded of the Homer Simpson one where he learnt how to make his own wine and forgot how to drive.
One bit of knowledge pushed out the other bit, and yeah.
That must be it. That must be it.
Yes. But well, speaking of knowledge replacing knowledge, we're going back to school this week, aren't we?
Yes.
We're going back in time.
Oh, I like going, that. Going back, that's a good one.
Going back more than 50 years to a UFO sighting in Australia, 6th of April 1966, on the outskirts of Melbourne.
Yeah, a place called Clayton.
A place called Clayton.
Yeah. Westall High School.
Which is now Westall Secondary College. Where students and a teacher reported seeing a flying object described as grey or silvery green, a saucer-shaped craft, with a slight purple hue and about twice the size of a family car, as far as they could tell, I guess.
Yeah.
So they said the object was descending. It overflew the high school, disappeared behind a stand of trees, and then approximately 20 minutes later, by which time I think one or more of children had run indoors and fetched a teacher, the object reportedly reappeared, climbed at speed and departed towards the northwest. And some accounts said it was being pursued by 5 unidentified aircraft.
Small aircraft in particular.
Oh, are we talking small aircraft as in... like light aircraft? What are we talking?
That's my understanding of it, but no specific details have been given.
I mean, a helicopter is a small aircraft, but people are normally a bit more specific, aren't they? When they will say helicopter.
Oh, these were specifically aeroplanes. So I'm guessing, we're talking light aircraft rather than
However, a check later showed that no commercial, private, or Royal Australian Air Force pilots had reported anything unusual in the area. Well, that's a bit ambiguous, isn't it? Because what the children seen might have been something that a pilot was expecting to see, in which case it wasn't.
It is
unusual.
But what I find so this. Obviously, you've got all the kids have seen this thing. You've got the teacher, Andrew Greenwood, his name is, who have seen this thing. That in itself makes this quite a unique and compelling account. But what makes it really interesting for me is 40 minutes later, after this has happened. So this is an hour after they've first seen this thing. Military flood the school. Military personnel.
And tell everyone to...
didn't see anything, really.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we make of that?
Well, one explanation, the usual explanation, was that it was a weather balloon.
Do military follow weather balloons around telling everyone they didn't see anything when they've seen a weather balloon?
Well, there was a suggestion that that balloons were up monitoring. Was it nuclear tests? Was there a nuclear test? I mean, if they would have noticed them, a huge mushroom cloud in the distance as well. So if it had drifted away from observing a nuclear test, it's probably blown an awful long way.
I mean, there are large areas of wilderness in Australia, the outback, but not around Melbourne's quite a densely populated, like Victoria,
Do they do nuclear tests in Australia? I mean, it is a huge landmass. I mean, you could do a nuclear test and probably not affect many people.
I've not heard of it happening, but that doesn't rule it out, of course.
Someone called Keith Basterfield. Who's Keith Basterfield? Just check who he is. Doesn't say who he is. I'm looking at, but he suggested it was a runaway balloon from the Highball, which is short for High Altitude Balloon Project, used to monitor radiation levels after British nuclear tests at Maralinga. Where's Maralinga? Which is in sort of central, on the south coast, about the middle of Australia, quite a long way to the northwest of where the sighting happened. An awful long way.
So let's explore that as a possibility that this surveillance balloon, what we would term a weather balloon, although they're used for multiple things, whether pattern detection is just one of them, but let's call it a weather balloon for want of a. This has floated away and floated over the school, and these kids and this teacher have seen it and report it. Now, for a military spokesperson to then come on the TV, come on, you know, to report to media and say, yeah, all it was is this weather balloon. It got away. It blew off its pre-programmed flight pattern or whatever. That's what the kids saw. Yeah, I can accept that as a response. But for military personnel to come onto the school, and we're not talking a small number here. We're talking like basically a platoon descended on the school and you didn't see anything. Why would they do that if that's all it was?
Yeah, I don't know why you would flood the school with military personnel. If something like a balloon, I mean, one suggestion was a weather balloon. One suggestion was that it was a towed target. Something that's towed behind a plane for other planes to shoot at, and you would imagine it would be on a very, very long tow line. You know, I'd want it to be at least half a mile long if I was towing a target that people were going to shoot at. And for some reason it had gone off course and had flown over a populated area and flown over a school, then you would expect a spokesperson to turn up at the school and say it was nothing to worry about. Don't worry. But the teacher was actually threatened, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. I'm glad you've raised this because that I find particularly damning. They threatened his job.
They said, well, you were obviously drunk. Obviously, you've been drinking. That's why he saw this.
They said to him that if he maintains his story, if he keeps talking about it, that's what they will say. We will have to say you were drunk on the job. If it's something innocuous, if it's something, you know, quite rational, easily explained, why would they do that?
A skeptic called Brian Dunning. Is he someone we've American writer and producer who focuses on science and skepticism, hosted a weekly podcast, Skeptoid, since 2006. He's suggesting two things. He's saying that a weather balloon is a likely explanation for the first half of the event, but a nylon target drogue, like a windsock towed by one plane for others to chase down, and known to be in use to the local Royal Australian Air Force at the time, was at least one very reasonable possibility for the second half. So they saw two things. And he said that as the years have passed, descriptions of what was actually seen have now become diluted with made-up descriptions by an unknown number of students who didn't see anything. And there's no way to know which is which. Now, we've had this before, haven't we, that school in Zimbabwe, where a number of students saw what looked like a UFO coming down near to the school out in the brush somewhere, but a number of students who were there who said, well, they never saw anything. or were they there? You know, it'll become, I mean, when you talk dealing with children, accounts can become very vague, can't they? Because there will be kids who weren't there who claim they saw it, and mm-hmm. kids who were there who said they saw nothing.
Worth bearing in mind with that specific case, so I've forgotten the guy's name, but there's one particular guy who was a student at the time there, who is very, very vocal in saying, nope, nobody saw anything. It was kind of, you know, just one person saying it to another, and then, you know, spread from there. 5 years, and that's what he does to this day. He's very, very adamant about that. 5 years ago, he was on record saying, it definitely, definitely happened, and I was there and I saw it. So
we've got unreliable witnesses, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And this is one of the problems with witness testimony, full stop, is, you know, the mind's capability to fill in details, particularly when it's an unknown thing, is a recognized phenomenon. So, yeah, it does make witness testimony challenging at times.
It doesn't seem to be clear what the teacher actually saw, because it looks like the thing overflew the school, which made kids, or at least one kid, run inside and get the teacher. So the teacher came out and saw something. Don't know how much of it he actually saw. It looks like Westall High's in a fairly... I mean, it's not out in the brush. It's in an urban, or at least suburban, area of Melbourne.
Well, Victoria, have you ever been to Australia yourself?
Yeah, but I haven't been to Melbourne.
Right, okay. I got relatives who live in Victoria. Mm. So not in Melbourne itself, but in the Dandenong Rangers. And it is quite a sort of rural, spread out area. But that said, you can't go more than a couple of miles without, you know, finding another town, sort of thing. There's plenty of space in Australia.
This looks like it's an area that's coloured in quite densely, that looks like Melbourne, and it's showing this, you know, the location of Westall High within Melbourne. So I'm imagining it's fairly densely populated area. It's near it's not far from the bay by the looks of it.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's it. And the further east you go in Australia, the more densely populated it is.
Well, yeah, most of the population live on the East Coast, don't they?
Yeah.
So most of the big cities are there. But also, if you wonder why that wouldn't have been seen by an awful lot of other people away from the school, unless that area really is a lot less densely populated than it looks like on this map.
It's possible. I mean, obviously, without knowing the map you're looking at. It's quite possible it wasn't that densely populated. Also, how many people sort of walk around looking upwards all the time? How many times have we, we as a much more general than you and I, but how many times have people sort of seen an object flying across the sky, not thought anything of it, just automatically thought, oh, must be a plane.
Yeah.
And just dismissed it. I'm of the strong belief that there are far more UFOs, UAPs active in our skies than get reported. Much more. And, you know, people, don't forget, in the 1960s as well, people were being massively ridiculed for saying they'd seen a UFO. There was a huge active campaign going on globally at the time. That was really ridiculing people very, very strongly for reporting UFOs. So, yeah, I wouldn't... You say, you know, it's surprising a lot of other people didn't see it. I wouldn't rule out that they didn't. They just didn't come forward.
Something the size of two cars coming down near a school disappeared behind a stand of trees.
Yeah, so that to me just means it went overhead and they lost sight of it behind the trees.
So if it was a balloon and it climbed, said for some reason it came down as balloons sometimes do and then go up again as balloons sometimes do, it must have been coming from the southeast. And presumably it was travelling with the wind if it was a balloon.
Yeah, one of the things that has always mystified me is hot air balloons.
Right.
How do they pilot hot air balloons? And I know it happens. I know they'll take off from one place and they'll land like in a pre-designated place. How can they do that?
Without any
means of propulsion.
It's by convection. So at a certain altitude, that actually airflows go in a kind of circle. So depending on what altitude you're at, so if you're heading east, you're being carried by the wind east, and you're flying at a certain altitude, in order to pick up an air current that's going west, you just simply go up until you hit that westward air current. Go back the way you came.
Okay. So, yeah, I can... Thank you. I'd have to...
Or go down, whatever, you know. But basically, air is circulating. It's not all just blowing in one...
Right. Okay. And I'm guessing it's not that neat either. So if you wanted to go north, then you would just go to the right height.
Correct. And also in a hot air balloon, you would not be traveling in any kind of windy conditions. You're talking about very mild air currents and really, really mild. I was in Australia. I was up north in Cairns and there was a woman in my hostel who shared a room with, and I stayed there for a while, maybe a week or so. But every morning I'd hear her getting up at about 5 a.m. to go and do this balloon flight she had her heart set on. And then a few hours later I'd get up and she'd come back and say, no, I couldn't do it today, too much wind. And it's even doing a parachute jump when I was doing parachute training in the army. It's different from military parachutists, but we were doing civilian parachute jumps. And you couldn't jump in a wind that's higher than 10 knots. And we'd be stood on the ground thinking, well, it's really calm. And they'd be saying, no, but up at 3,000 feet where you'll be jumping, it's more than 10 knots. So you can't jump.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I've seen that with the drone. Yeah. At ground level.
Yeah. You get it up to a certain level. And yeah.
Yeah. 200 foot. It's, yeah. Or 100 foot even. Yeah. Okay. But I didn't get the view. So the way it's described, this UAP came overhead where it says it disappeared below the tree line. I'm not getting the impression that it came down. It just sort of carried along. If it was quite low level to start with, it would just have to carry on in a straight line and it would disappear behind the trees.
You'd lose sight of it because the trees are in the way. Yeah.
That's kind of how I'm interpreting that.
Yeah, and then maybe once it's traveled a bit further, you can see it again.
Yeah, or maybe it did a U-turn, or maybe, yeah. Mm. So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure it came down onto the ground. There is a bit more to this story, because it didn't end there. So as well as the military turning up, threatening this teacher, poor Andrew Greenwood. It didn't silence him. He kept on talking publicly about it. And he ended up getting a visit from some people in suits who...
Were they black suits by any chance?
They were dark-coloured suits. And they claimed to be from the government. They also... warned him not to speak of it, and very much, you've hit the nail on the head. Sounds very much like a Men in Black,
or possibly people from the school board saying, people from the Department of Education saying, "Listen, you better stop this." Or,
apparently, the reason they gave him for why he needed to stop talking was because it was a secret government exercise, they said.
Okay.
Now, what's the secret government exercise doing above a bloody school?
Yeah, but if it was a secret government exercise that had gone astray, There's a high ball that had been sent up to monitor radiation, broke free of its tether, for instance. Or have you ever done that with a kite? Do you ever do that with a kid and you've got a kite and you're flying it and you're letting the string out and you let the string out and the kite falls and then you pull it taut and it goes up again and you keep doing that and then you get to the end of the spool and you realise that the string isn't tied to the spool. It's just how it flies up. And you just watch your kite going off. You know, you've got it up to its maximum height and then effectively let it go.
I've done that. Say one. I've ever done that. Myself, but that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I've done that. It was a long walk to go and get my kite. Actually, that happened to me. And I went with my dad to get a kite, and I remember he had to climb over a hedge. And then there was a ditch on the other side, and he had to sort of, he ended up in the ditch. But he also found another kite. So I came up with two. And the kite that I lost was just a plain yellow kite. But the one that came out was a black one with a skull and crossbones on it that was actually a really good flyer as well. So, yeah, I consider
makes
myself.
Me wonder how many UFOs are reported that are just untethered kites that have blown away?
Well, I remember when I was a kid, there was a kite that was, it was a silver thing and it had some sort of spinning thing inside it. That
right,
that was spinning in the wind, and it was called the UFO. I mean, it wasn't very big, but you would be putting this sort of silvery, glistening thing catching the sunlight up into the sky. So,
well, okay, so back onto the point with it. If it was indeed a secret military experiment, this is a country that famously has huge, massive tracts of land where there is nobody.
Mm.
Why would you do this anywhere near? Why would you do it in hundreds of miles of a populated area?
Well, as we saw with the recent Chinese spy balloon over the United States, that balloons go a long way. Once they're cut adrift, they never stop.
Well, it's claimed it's a Chinese spy balloon. That's a whole other thing completely.
Yeah,
because that's the UFO community is still questioning that one. So we've come to that point with these things. I'll ask the question as I often do. Andrew Greenwood, these students, do you believe them?
Yeah, I do. I believe that they saw something that they couldn't explain. They couldn't explain it as something being towed by an aircraft. It's this thing was supposedly flew away, being trailed by being chased by aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Although they seem the authorities seem to deny that they had any aircraft seeing anything unusual. I mean, maybe if you're a fighter pilot and you've been sent up to shoot down this runaway balloon or to chase this target. And then when you came, say, there was a towed target and you were sent up to shoot at it. When you came down again and someone said, did you see anything unusual in the sky? I said, well, no, I didn't see anything I didn't expect to see. I just saw this target that I was sent up to shoot. I don't know. I do believe that they believe they saw something. Because sat here in my chair in South London, all I can do is speculate and say, well, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But ultimately, I can't say to them, no, you didn't see this. What you saw was something else. Because, who am I to say that?
So I think we're very much on the same page with this. I agree with you. I think Andrew Greenwood definitely believes he saw something. And you when you watch him in interviews and things, some people just have an air of credibility about them. You instinctively sort of get that, and I very much get that from him. But also the behavior of the military straight after this event, I find highly suspicious. Why would they, to flood the school? The rest of it is kind of there's hearsay about these, the Men in Black thing. That's hearsay. The threats about him being drunk on the job is also hearsay. But the military turning up at the school and flooding it like they did,
yeah,
that's not, you know, and that is really bizarre behavior, especially if it's something innocuous or, I mean, especially if it's a secret military experiment. That, yeah, I don't know.
I can certainly imagine that any teacher who's telling tales about something supernatural or paranormal or extraterrestrial, is going to be told to stop it. You know, we don't whether you saw it or not. You're upsetting people. You're frightening people.
Yeah,
it's not your job.
And bringing disrepute as well to the school, especially back in the '60s, you were considered a nutter if you reported anything like that. So, yeah, well, there we go. But I really want to hear what our listeners and viewers think about this particular case, the Westall 1966 UFO. Did we say what date it happened?
What date?
I mean, it was the 6th of April, but I couldn't remember if we'd said at 11 a.m. So
11 a.m. on Wednesday, the 6th of April, 1966.
So
is that within within the window for
had visibility? It wasn't dark, you know, it wasn't nighttime or anything like that.
That would be autumn in Australia, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but 11 a.m. it's going to be daylight.
Yeah, it's going to be daylight.
Yeah. So listeners, viewers, let us know what you think about this case. You can contact us via the usual means, of course. You can email us, aliensexplored@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter. You can put a comment below our YouTube video. And if you're one of our Patreon subscribers, then you get exclusive access to our Discord server as well. So that's worth thinking about. And you'll be supporting the channel as well, which we'd very much appreciate. Join us next time when we'll be looking into the life and times of UFO researcher Stanton Friedman. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, me too. Wasn't he the guy who investigated Roswell?
We'll be discussing that amongst
that's Stanton Friedman, right? Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, so don't miss that. In the meantime, keep watching the skies and keep watching the skies. There we go.
Watch the skies.
Take care for now. Bye-bye.
Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Aliens Explored is a Fecal Films production in association with Juicy Falls. Music by Darren Mafucci and editing by Stu Jackson. Find us on Twitter or Facebook by searching Aliens Explored or visit us on aliensexplored.com.